I'm going to give you a challenge, and the challenge is to have you think about what you feel is the biggest problem humanity faces. Just visualize it. You think this is the biggest problem that humanity faces. I'm not about to give you the answer to that problem. What I'm going to say to you is that when you actually find the solution, the most effective solution for it, at the center of that solution, you will see how critical girls' education is to it. And that is why girls' education, why you? Because whatever is plaguing you, whatever is plaguing humanity, when we find the solution, we will find empowering girls smack in the middle of it. So I'm going to tell you the work that I'm doing in Starfish International, working with girls, and I'm going to use my mother as a case study. So my mother was the first girl in her village, in her whole village, to go to high school. And she had to leave her family and go to the city to get an education. And I'm going to expose you to a very revolutionary quotation from the Baha'i writings. Education holds an important place in the new order of things. But if there's enough money only to educate one child, it is compulsory for everybody, but if there's only enough money to educate one child, educate the girl. The money must be dedicated to the girl's education, for she is the potential mother. So let's look at my mother's life. First girl from her village to go to high school. She goes to high school, the next year she graduates high school, she comes home, gets married, and has four children. Those four children, within the span of 40 years, all went to college. And within the span of 40 years, have worked on girls' education in the Gambia and in America. They've worked on resettling refugees in Connecticut, in the United States, have worked on chemical weapon incineration and safety measures in Kentucky, have worked on blood donation drives and how you use social media to leverage blood donation drives. They have worked on business and economics. They've worked on marketing. And they've worked on how you use arts, music, and dance to actually do a social critique of the society. Now think about that. One girl in a village somewhere has four kids who all go to college and who impact their communities, not just in Africa, but as far as in the United States. Abdu'l-Bahá says that the world of humanity has two wings. One is women and the other men. And not until both wings are fully developed can the bird fly. So this is the kind of communication I like. I like for us to be squeezed where we don't have a choice, because we're the same humanity who do a lot of damage in the world. So when we get into a corner where we're really desperate, then we get into action. And this is pretty clear about that, that we need both men and women to make this happen. So obviously when we talk about prioritizing a girl, we're not talking about a fight. We're not talking about if the girl is prioritized, then the boy doesn't benefit. What we're looking at is we're looking at society. That bird is the society. That bird is the family. That bird is the nation, and that bird is the world. And when we think about it that way, and if we want this bird to fly, and one wing is very, very weak, then we pool all of our resources, and we do everything that we can to make that bird fly. In order to do that, we have to do it using certain qualities. There are five virtues and quotations from the Baha'i writings that inspire our work in the Gambia with these young girls. Because it's a fair argument to make, to say, well, you know, in your mother's case, her children went and used their education for good, but you could have developed bombs, you could have been terrorists, and used your education for terrorism, and you certainly could have just taken care of your own community, just gone back to the Gambia or gone back to Africa and worked with your community. And sometimes you see that. Very often you see that. Somebody gets an education and they use it to benefit themselves. That is not bad. But the question is, what kind of education do we need to offer so that the first educators of the next generation, the potential mothers, will teach the qualities that we need taught so that a whole generation of people will grow up with the idea that you get an education to serve humanity. That this is not an idea, this is a way of being. why do you want an education? It's not just to better yourself, but to better humanity. My mom had choices. I always laugh when I see people talking about empowering African women, because I grew up among some of the strongest women in the world. So it's very, very clear to me that it is not strength or empowerment that they need. What they need are choices. And what gives them those choices are the education that we offer. And one of the ways we offer that education has to do with nobility, this idea of nobility. When you take a girl at the bottom rung of the social ladder and you say to her, you're noble, Baha'u'llah tells us that noble have I created thee, why dost thou abase thyself? So if I come to the table and I believe that I am a noble human being, and it is something that I didn't have to earn, I was born with it. You can't give it to me, you can't take it away from me. That means that it creates an environment where I act nobly. And acting nobly means if I believe I'm a queen, you're not going to find me in the middle of the street cursing at somebody, right? You're not going to find me stealing things from people. You're not going to find me doing those kinds of things. Also, what you would find me doing is feeling responsible. If I believe I'm a queen, then I have a responsibility towards my people. So that's one way we approach girls' education. Another one is independence. My mom had independent thought. Her education afforded her a way to look at the world where she made up her mind herself. So when it came to protecting me from female genital mutilation, for example, she did not have to indoctrinate me. Because if she had indoctrinated me, then the next person to come around, the next charismatic speaker would convince me otherwise. What she did was sit me down and say, this is what happens to your body, and I don't want this to happen to you. That is why, even though 90% of the village girls are getting circumcised, you're not going to be one of them. And because of that, it was a gift that she gave me that I could give, and I could protect myself using it. Now, you can call yourself a queen and be as independent as you want intellectually, but if you don't have money and if you can't make money, there are choices that you simply cannot make. And so there has to be an element of financial independence. We have to be able to teach girls that you can take care of yourself. And you can take care of yourself from when you're very young. You can make candy and sell it. You can be a photographer. You can do social media. You can do technology. There are all kinds of things that you can do. And so that's one of the things we do at Starfish. And then we have service. Like I said, why do you learn 1 + 1 = 2? You learn 1 + 1 = 2 so that you can serve humanity. And if you grow up feeling like you're noble, you're independent, you have knowledge, you're courteous, and you realize this is a collaborative effort, it's not a competition, and we're not going to fight our way through it, we're going to unite through it, then you stand a chance in being that first educator where what you teach your children and what you teach the next generation stands a chance of solving every single one of the problems that you identified at the beginning of this talk. Baha'u'llah says that the world is one country and mankind its citizens. I'll give you an example. I used to teach English, expository writing, and philosophy at a university in Western Kentucky. I would walk into the classroom and I would say to my students, I bet your grandparents did not think that an African female whose country was colonized by the British and who speaks with an accent is teaching you your own mother tongue, which is English. Right? So this was just their grandparents' generation. So if you think about it, between their grandparents' generation and me, it was completely a different world. And so I came to Western Kentucky to teach with my culture, with my premonitions, with my training, and with everything. The same way I could do that and bring good from West Africa to Western Kentucky is the same way I could have done it with terrorism, with disease, with any bad thing that I put my mind to, right? So that is to say you don't have any escape. Girls' education, or what mothers teach their children, and what those females go on to do, or those potential mothers go on to do in the world through their kids, is going to affect you whether you're in San Francisco, in Kentucky, or in the Gambia, West Africa. So So the challenge is for you to actually sponsor a girl to go to school. Try to pay the school fees of a girl. And when you pay the school fees of that girl, try to make that girl a member of your family. Want for that girl what you would want for yourself, because that girl is, in fact, a member of your family. And within that girl lies the solutions to the problems that you want solved. And the final one is to educate yourself. Educate yourself about issues that are affecting girls and preventing them from getting an education in the world. And when you educate yourself about the good and the bad, then you stand on the right side of history, which is either way you're going to impact the future. And if you impact it this way, you would be standing on the right side of history. So like I said, think about it as a boat that has a hole in it. We can fix the hole, or you can sit on the side that doesn't have water and think that it's not going to affect you. Either way, these girls hold the answers to all the problems that humanity faces. And I wish you luck as you join us in working on girls' education. Thank you.